I'm going to read 10 verses or so from Genesis 26 and verses 12 through 22. So hang with me. A little bit longer passage than I usually read, but I have to complete the thought, as our English majors know. But I think God has a lot to say to us today, so that's why these verses go a little bit longer too. Okay? He did to me anyway. And all I do is take what he has to say to my heart, and instead of a canal, I want to be a vessel. Fill it up, feel it, understand what he's saying, and then offer that. Where it goes is up to the Holy Spirit this morning, and I'm really thankful that you're here, okay? God does have a lot to say. The Bible says this, Isaac, he's the son of Abraham, okay? Father of our faith. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the land is the land in a place called Gerar. And the same year reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. How many of you know that a blessing that you have comes from the Lord? How many of you know that, okay? Right, there you go. He's a giver of all good things. Every good and perfect gift comes from where? Yeah, from above. So be looking for that, okay? No extra charge. And the man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants, and the Philistines envied him. To all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham. This was quite a list of assets. The Philistines stopped up filling them with dirt, okay, with earth, with dirt. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, hey, man, you're going to have to move, dude, okay? Move away as you become too powerful for us. So Isaac moved away from there and camped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham had died. And he gave them the same names as his father had given them. And Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, the water is ours. So he named the well Essek because they disputed him. And it's kind of a play on words, okay? In the Hebrew word Essek is where it's coming from, not Essek, but it means to dispute. Verse 21, then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also, and so they named it Sitna, which means accusation. So we have the well of Essek, and we have that well of quarreling, and then we have the well of Sitna. Everybody say Essek. Essek. Sitna. Yeah, all right, we're getting it, which means accusation. Three wells, very important later on in this, okay? So we're getting into the next one here. And he moved on from there, dug another well, and no one quarreled over that one. And he named it Rehoboth. Somebody shout Rehoboth. You're going to need that one today, later on, okay? Saying, now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land. Rehoboth means a place of room, wide, open place. I didn't have trouble looking these words up at all, because they were pretty, you know, substantial. I'm looking at this going, Essek, why would they come? You know, I looked up Cohen, the name Reed gave to his son, because I was like looking up names. This is a lot of fun. And I found that it stands for priest from the house of Aaron. It's pretty cool. And you can tell him you already did that, so now you know. But, you know, a good name, the Bible says, is chosen over what? Great riches, right? So look at these names. Look at the significance of this story. It made it into the Bible, so it's kind of big. Write this down in your notes if you have those sermon notes. Repentance, okay? If you don't, get up there and go get some. Michael's not here today to pass them out. So if you need sermon notes, there's a whole batch of them out there. Thank you. Constance is over here, and she's got your batch. So if you need them, she'll be happy to help you out. Thank you. There's some fill-ins here as we're talking about growth. And Isaac had to redig these wells. We're going to get into all that, but that wasn't fun. Resistance is required for growth. Resistance is required for growth. If you didn't know this, okay? And here's the deal. Growth will bring resistance. Obviously, when you play a video game, level one has a certain monster you have to dominate and eventually take out. Well, if you get to level two, it's not the same monster, all right? You got a bigger one and a badder one and level three and so on, right? You understand this. If you're growing in Christ, there's going to be something against that, and growth will bring resistance. You know this to be true intuitively. You may not phrase it that way, but you know it to be true. My grandson is constantly doing the bobble thing right now, okay? The head bobble thing. His name is Moses Oak. That's his first name, and his middle name's Christian. And he's just all over the place right now, okay? You know that stage. And it's important that we start getting that neck muscle going out. Why? Because gravity is kicking in, and gravity's pulling on those neck muscles. And they're trying to grow. And if there was no resistance in those neck muscles, he would never fully develop. Okay? Here's a little video that was shot this week when Alex took him to the pet store. Just watch the head on this little thing here, okay? He's got one finger going right here, and then he flashes the camera towards the... Okay, there's the fish. And so I love this shot right here. Just watch the head. Foom. Foom, foom, foom. There, foom. There it goes, right? So you get the idea? You got to have some resistance. It's not going to be easy. You know, he's all over the place. I said, lay that kid on his belly, right? So he can practice this thing. And of course, grandpas and grandmas always have a solution to every problem. Mom and dad are on it. But there's a great analogy there. Resistance is required for growth. Just recently, I graduated 8 seniors from my soccer team. That's practically an entire starting lineup. And I'm rebuilding a season, and every coach has to take that, you know, that, you know, here we go again, one of those seasons coming up. We won the league championship 2 years ago, and it boosted us into a whole nother league with a lot of big guns that we got to face. And then I graduated a chunk of my talent. And so back to the mattresses, back to the beginning stages here. Not easy. And I had to do a little searching. Do I want to keep coaching? Right? It's a lot of work. Do I want to do this again? I mean, 4 more years of this, and do I want to invest in this? I had to walk the horse trail, friends. I needed an hour to think about that. And my daughter graduated. Do I want to keep coaching as a, you know, I don't have any kids on the team anymore. I went through some resistance, you know. Plus, there's more contract stuff and more heat. This and concussion, this, or certifications all over the place. Do I want to do this again? And there's this learning curve that's about to hit my team. And for a lot of folks that have not had a few years under their belt, like the last crew did, it's just starting all over again. Teachers know what it's like. You get a whole new batch of kids, and you heard from the last teacher what they were like, and, you know, here we go again. I was thinking this is going to be a lot of work. But the resistance that the work creates will build a muscle for me and my assistant team of coaches. I know we're going to benefit from it later on. We just went through this 2 years ago. A lot of celebrating. But if I don't have resistance, I won't have the growth. Amen? Y'all awake? All right, July. Let's wake up in July here. I know it's summer. I'm building something here, and this is the whole point for working out. Some of y'all made the commitment to work out first of the year, right? No more yoga classes, just no time for that, all right? If I make it to the swim line out there, I'm fine, you know? For some of us here, it's okay, but you're not going to the gym anymore. And you know, there was some resistance in the beginning. Our outrigger team is training. It's in the 9-man season. It's the very end of the season, and I basically don't like the last race. It's the most incredible race over that crosses the channel, but the most grueling. It's not a lot of fun at all. It's just hard. There's resistance in pushing up. There's resistance in not throwing up because you're on the water for so long and so many miles. And you're trying to keep up with what's being said to you and concentrate. It's just an awful lot. And this is the whole point, that weight puts resistance on the muscle, and the resistance strengthens and it grows, and the muscle is required to grow as well. And you're going to grow, and the same is true in your spiritual life. If you are being tested right now or going through hell and back, it would seem, you are being tested and something will strengthen. Amen? I hope you're listening to me. And I didn't want to launch into the summer, especially after July 4th, which is a very pivotal time here in the summer as you're moving towards Labor Day weekend, and it goes up again in a climax and then it drops as the island starts to slowly simmer down. And I want you to understand, just like the ebb and flow of cruise ships, and 2 days ago, taking friends to Two Harbors, I watched the ebb and the flow of the marine layer come in. You understand? It comes in and goes out, and you got some sun, and it's cold. There are seasons in our life that ebb and flow. You may be going through a rough one right now, right? There's an ebb and a flow to this. And the same is true in your life. From one season to another, there's a time for you to move on. Hopefully you can. But for some, you've gotten stuck in a changeover between seasons. Just like my little horse trail walk. Am I going to coach this year? God, you have anything to say about it? Because either I'm in or I'm not doing this, because it's a lot of work. I need some answers. And I was stuck in the changeover. I wasn't quite making it in to my changeover. I'm sure you're tracking with me, but I don't want you to get into the next season of life, whatever it may be that God is saying He has for you, or whatever you're believing God for. I don't want you going into the next season thinking that it's going to be a cakewalk, Avalon. It's not going to be a cakewalk. It's going up a notch. Because if you're going to have a greater growth in the next season of your life, you're going to have to face resistance. Somebody shout resistance. Okay? There you go. So I didn't want to get you to that place that makes you think God has forgotten about me, or God's not for me, or God's not hearing my prayers, or God's not responding to my cry. No. God is responding to your cry. And He allows some weight. And He allows some things to be put on you to get your faith going. We talked about this extensively last week. It's not always Satan that is bringing this stuff to the surface in your life. God wants to refine you. God could be in that stuff. It's not always, man, the enemy is just working me over. We ask God for the next level. Test me. Grow me. And so it comes, and then we're like, God, you know, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And this is not from God. Be careful with that. God is good at answering the prayer that's within the prayer. Y'all catch that? There's another one that's inside that we don't see. And a lot of times, God is seeing way more than what we see. This is a cool concept about how God answers prayer within our prayers. God will answer your prayer if you ask Him. A lot of times, you don't see the answer that's hidden for something else that's bigger. And we will pray, God bless me, God use me, God take me. Please move me to another season, and God, give me greater influence. Expand my business. Help me with these new sixth graders I've got. Help me with my kindergartners. Help me in my new administrative job. I just moved here. I've been here 3 months, and I don't know anybody. And help me with my housing. And God says, okay, you want a strengthening of your faith? Okay, in order to do that, you're going to have to have some muscles carry the weight of what you're asking for, so that the prayer within the prayer is not the prayer you prayed, but it's the one that needs to come, because you don't want to carry 45-pound weights with only muscles that can handle 15 pounds. Amen? Right? The structure of you and your spiritual integrity has got to be able to handle the load you're asking God for. I hope you're tracking with me. When I moved to Avalon, I was really excited about a lot of things. I could get revenue coming into my family real quick, and work on the zip line, get some stuff going on. But when you ask God for a spiritual blessing, bring me the work. I want some evangelism. All of a sudden, you got serious opposition all over the place, out the yin-yang. Who are you? Arms folded. I dare you to make it one winter, Hobbs. I dare you. You're not an islander yet. For some folks, I'm still not an islander. I'm pushing 10 years, okay? It's resistance, and it's there. Some people call it opposition, right? Paul said it. Hey, I think I'm going to stay in Ephesus for a while, because there's a great opposition. There are many who oppose what's going on here, and the door of effective ministry is open. So I'm going to hang out here for a little while. Paul based the success of his ministry on the opposition that was going on around him. That's pretty sweet, isn't it? Yeah, something to take away. It's a cool concept. And so Isaac is in a place of resistance. The Bible says that God blessed him. Catch this. He became wealthy. His wealth continued to grow, became very wealthy. It goes up a notch with the adverb. And some of you are like, give me some of that, Lord. Hey, give me some of that wealth. I'll take it. Lord, I'll take the wealthy. Jesus, I'm straight out of college. I want that. So God, make me wealthy. Isaac becomes very wealthy. Yet his wealth caused the king to come to him and say, dude, you're out of here. All right? You've grown too large. Now I need you to leave. So the blessing of God got him kicked out. Y'all paying attention? I mean, read it for what it says. He was blessed by God, and the king kicked him out of the land. I wonder if that truly is a blessing. I wonder if you've ever felt that way. I wonder if you've ever been in a place where you're like, I know I'm blessed by God. Why the heck do I feel so freaking lonely? I see blessing in my life, but I've never felt so lonely. Anyone? Raise your hand. Look around. It's crazy. And you feel guilty because you're like, I shouldn't be feeling this way because God's been so good to me. And he will be good to you, and God will bless you in incredible ways. And this is one of the ways you'll know that God is trying to get you to change in seasons. These are the indicators. Because you've outgrown the previous season. Amen? Because God has blessed you and God has favored you. God is growing you. I'm just taking this from Isaac, my friends. And you'll find that the people that wanted to be around you and used to be around you, all of a sudden, hello, they don't call you much anymore. Because you're outgrowing the season you were in. Amen? Y'all paying attention? Somebody help me. I'm not saying you're outgrowing people. All right? That's way against Scripture. Loving God, loving people, right? So I'm not saying that, but I'm saying you will sometimes outgrow the season you used to be in, the people you used to hang out with, because you were bitter, but now you're free from bitterness. They don't want to hang out with you anymore because you're outgrowing that last season. Do you still want to hang out with those people that gossip? Probably not. You're outgrowing that season. They want to move on too, and you still like to, you know, maybe tear people down. And they're looking for that. But all of a sudden, one day you say, I'm done. I'm done backstabbing people. I'm done. This is not how I want to feel, and I'm out of here. I am moving to the next season. And I'm not going to have a negative spirit. And I really love you guys, and I hope you can get out of it, but I'm out of here. God's moving me to a new season. Amen? I don't care if the 20 years this person's offended me goes another day. I am going to forgive them because I don't want 20 more years of that crap. I'm done with it. I forgive you, and I'm moving on to a new season in my life. God's been doing some things on the inside of you. And you've outgrown that season, and you've got to take it to the next level. If you're stuck in the changeover, the enemy is lurking in that stuckness. To push through that, you've got to have help. God's outgrowing that gift, and he's moving you forward, and he's moving into a new gift. And this one has blessing. And for Isaac, it was very blessed. Big wealth. And to leave the one thing, you need to move to the next thing completely. So it's the blessing that got him kicked out. God, you've been so good to me, and I've been here in this place where I feel like I feel guilty and I feel exhausted, but I feel exhausted, but I feel exhausted because of the blessing. Has anybody felt that way? Okay? Am I just preaching myself today? I feel like God has done a lot of blessing, but there are times where I feel, isolated. God, I pray for all this. But all this creating weight on my life all of a sudden is too heavy for me to carry. And God, I asked for this, but now it's bringing me some pain. And you know what? I think I'm just going to take a little hiatus. I'm going to back off of asking. So people fall into resignation. They just stop asking God for risk in their life. They stop asking God for the next stage of blessing in their life. They literally do not move. Instead, they resign. And they feel somewhat disqualified, and they get stuck. So these blessings can start looking like, track with me here, like a burden. And if you don't keep it in the right perspective, it starts feeling like a weight around your neck. It's the blessing I'm talking about here, okay? That right perspective. God is the one who made him wealthy and powerful, and he is the reason he was kicked out of the nation. And you will begin to call the blessing of God a burden. Avalon Church, listen to me. Be careful. God's blessing could feel like a burden real easy. When the enemy's moving around, that switch will go off because you don't have the right eyes to see it. I've done this. So that's where this is coming from. I'm right there with you. And we'll begin to curse the very thing that we've been begging God for. We'll begin to speak ill of the very thing that we ask God for. We've been on our knees crying out to God, God, do this in my life. God, move in my life. God, open the door. And then God opens it. The responsibility comes with it. And this opens a new level of thinking. And it becomes burdensome. All of a sudden, we're complaining about the burden. Could it be that God is not answering and not providing for the current thing that you're believing for because you've been complaining about the last thing you got? Y'all don't want me to preach today, okay? The blessing of God. The blessing becomes common to you. Write this in. The blessing of God. Fill that in the blank. It becomes common to you. Real quick. And when they become common, they become a burden. Those are your blanks. Things that become common become a burden. You pray for family. Now you're complaining that you have to be a parent. Come on. You're begging and asking God for a financial breakthrough. Now you're complaining about God wanting you to be generous. You prayed and asked God to help you with your marriage. Now you're complaining he won't pick up his socks or his personality has changed. I'm getting into the nitty-gritty here. There's things that come and all of a sudden we have a reason we come up with. And so we begin to complain about the blessings that God gave us. We begin to complain about the things and create burdens. And we'll begin to think that God isn't with us anymore. He's not for us anymore because we will begin to see the blessing as a burden. No, it's a blessing. But the greater the blessing God gives you, the heavier the burden. Why? Because God will not create a life for you where he is not needed. Amen? So he will lead you to a place where you no longer need him. Isaac still needed God. So the blessing brings a greater weight. The greater weight requires greater dependence. Greater dependence requires greater blessing. Are you tracking with me? All right, now you're waking up. Good. Greater blessing. Do you all see what I'm saying here? If you're not tracking with me, I know this sounds very profound. And for those of you who've been in church 50 years, you're hearing this again. Let the malaise come off. Because we get burdened over things that we create, make common in our life. And then you get bored as a result. And God is at work. God is doing something. And he's there. And you've asked him for it. Don't let it become common. You beg God for that car that you've purchased over town. Or you start complaining about the insurance being so high. You're so thankful for the day you got that job. But now, 4 minutes, 59 seconds, and 59 seconds, you're ready to punch out of them. Come on, somebody. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Here it is. It's because the blessing has become common. The goodness of God cannot be common. It cannot be. Church can become common. You want to close in prayer right now? We can. Now, I know that I'm a pastor here, and I personally believe that you're in a very uncommon church. Okay? My roommate in college was here. I haven't seen him in 20 years. He was just here the last 3 days and with his family. And he said, where's your church? I said, it's not hard to find. Tony, you know, here it is. And he walked in. He goes, this is an interesting church. I said, it's old. The building is very old. It's beautiful. He goes, yeah, it's just different. And I said, you mean uncommon? He goes, I don't know. I don't go to church here. So he saw through the question. He doesn't know the congregation. But it can become common. It can become routine. Some of you got up this morning, it was just routine, so what we do is check the box, sing some songs, he's going to preach, maybe he'll be funny today, maybe he won't be funny today, maybe I'll take notes, maybe I won't take notes, okay, and point proven. We get into this. We just kind of go through the routine. Maybe I'll go, maybe I won't. You know what? They're taping these things now. Maybe I'll listen online. I'll just listen online. It's a lot easier. I can lay in bed. I'll just listen online. Maybe I'll watch it on the app later. It kind of becomes common. You know, God can become common to you. He's not your genie in a bottle. You don't rub him when you need something. He's sovereign over the universe. Amen? The God of the universe. He's holy. He's altogether other than we ever hope to be. He is God over all. And things become common. And we see things as a burden. Maybe we all need to set calendar reminders on our phone. I still don't know how to do this. Okay? But for the first day of every month, why don't we do a blessing inventory? A friend of mine sent me this as an email this week. I love this. Just to start each month off, each very beginning of the month, with just the right perspective. God, you've been so good to me. It's a great worship song, too. God, you've blessed me beyond what I could ever dream or imagine. We just need to recount the goodness of God. Amen? Because if you don't keep it in the right perspective, the blessing pushes you into new territory, and the blessings of God will open new doors. The blessing of God will move you out of one season. It'll move you into the next season. It'll feel like rejection, though, and loneliness, and you'll get lost. And it'll feel like nobody's around you. Nobody understands you. The wild men aren't meeting right now, men don't like me anymore. You know, start weird stuff. Distorted perception hits. That email is taken wrongly. The text she sent, whoa, did she really mean this? You know, our minds are going 100 miles an hour. Distorted perception. Because the truth isn't real. We don't take time to look at it. And all of a sudden, we're in this lonely, isolated, you know, greater space than what God had for us that was refined. Sometimes you got to walk through that. God wants to take you somewhere. And the Bible says he began to grow. And here's what I love. He began to move. And as he moved, he was determined to reopen the wells of his father, Abraham. But the Philistines had closed up the wells. They had put dirt in those wells to close them up. This was a very strategic move. How many of you know that if you're going to sustain your livestock in agriculture, especially there, okay, in the Mediterranean Peninsula there, you're looking at, you have to have a well. You have to have water and the aqueducts that come with it in order to keep any life sustaining out there. You've seen plenty of movies with that in there. And these photos are very real. You don't just need water. You need living water. Where you tap down even lower below the earth where there is active water. And that's what they dug down and that's what they tapped into. Living water. It was flowing through there. It wasn't just, you know, this small aquifer. This was a living thing underground. Abraham's family before him dug those until they hit those wells, and the Philistines wanted to choke off those wells. Because they choke off the water, they choke off the supply. They choke off the supply, they choke off the blessing that God gave him. And so Abraham dug some wells and put dirt in them. Philistines put dirt in them. Isaac reopened them. Why? Because he needed the blessing to sustain the herd and the cattle and the agriculture. And I want to propose to you today that if you're going to push through the resistance in your life, if you're going to push through the junk that's going on, I'm not talking about just finances, something deeper, it's a spiritual attack. You're not going to find it in this world. You need to grab a shovel, but you're not going to tap into the answer here, not even on this gorgeous island here, okay? It's found in the person of Jesus. Amen? Here's what the enemy wants to do in your life. He wants to choke off and stop the flow of the water that will sustain you of living water that comes from the person of Jesus. He is what you tap into to get your life moving forward. So what he'll do is he'll come back in and he'll fill those wells in. He'll clog them up so the water doesn't flow to you. But Isaac turned around and said, no, I'm going to reopen those wells. Grab a shovel, my friends, and I want to say to you right now in the middle of your summer, there may be some wells you need to re-dig open. Don't let this summer, especially here in July, where the weariness of pretense is hitting you, and I'm getting that too, especially if you've been traveling or you're just getting off your travels coming home and you're exhausted, be careful. What I'm going into right now is the meat and potatoes of this sermon. You may need to re-dig. dig those wells. And there may be some wells, and I know this section may feel a little bit old school, okay, for some of you, but I'm just telling you what works. There needs to be some wells redug, like here it is, the well of the Word of God. Write that somewhere, okay, even if it's just in your heart. The Word of God. You can't avoid it. We need to redig the well of God's Word. Here's what I mean by that. It's the only Word that you're getting that is going to be literally taking you into a whole new move, that new season of your life. It's the one that God gives you, and you're going to be spiritually emaciated. You cannot eat one day a week, a meal a week, and expect to be strong the rest of the week, okay? For some of you, this is your Bible reading day. You can't do that and survive the week, okay? Teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. Feed a man a fish, you feed him for a day. I said it backwards, but you get the point, right? That's the deal. God says, you need my word. That is a well, it is a life spring. And he turns around and says, the same is true with your walk. You can't expect me to be spiritually strong and not walk with God, not hear from him. But whenever resistance hits, you'll knock on this door, you'll hear it, and you're going to fall like a piece of paper because you've not fortified yourself in the Word of God. People, are you with me? Okay? You need to dig down the sustaining Word of God. There is a Word for you, and you need to get to it, find it, and you need to roll into that and wallow in that like I saw the bison do yesterday. Coat yourself with it. So when the enemy stings you like those stinking horse flies do out there, you're good. Take a dirt bath in the Word of God. And I love the fact that it strengthens you. Whenever resistance hits your door, it's okay. And I find myself, whenever I'm in these moments, that because, you know, I had parents, thank God for that, that taught me how to memorize the Word of God when I was a little rat, that there were words that will rise up in me to this day that I haven't read in a long time. And here's what I'll do. I'll start digging it up. I'll start looking into it. God's Word was planted in my heart by some VBS guy. I don't even remember his name, but I remember Psalm 100 because they offered me a Hershey bar if I could say all of it. In my flip-flops and board shorts and crazy hair all over the place, my parents threw me in VBS, and I did Psalm 100. And man, do I need to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Man, do I need to just let it rip. Come before Him with gladness and all that good stuff that got me that Hershey bar. Somebody did it right. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of the Lord will stand forever. Anyone here? Yeah. So you can't build your life on pop culture. You can't build it on CNN. Steer clear, Fox News, and all the rest of them. 10 minutes of that's enough. Because I'll tell you right now, you've got to build your life on what will stay. And the roots that go down are only going to come from the Word of God. Amen? That's the picture that I'm looking at. That's what you dig your shovel into. You need to redig the well of the Word of God in your life. And I know it sounds old school, and you may be sitting here going, all right, just take this deeper, Hobbs. That's just 101. No, you need the 101. I need the 101. You need basic Bible bits, because when you leave here and you get attacked, you go crazy. You're complaining, or you look on social media to get the answers. What would you do? Don't do that, by the way. Okay? And you're all over the place. The Word of God is there. The core of the issues of our life are found in the Word of God. And they will sustain you, and they will strengthen you. Amen? When you feel alone, and your blessing has moved to a place of rejection, where you're like, where is everybody? You need a Word. You need His strength. God will never leave you. He will not forsake you. He is a friend that will stick closer than what? Yeah, say it. Say it. Brother. Right? Don't be afraid. Offer that to someone. Remind them. Hey, I borrowed this, by the way. It's from the gospel. When you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, and we were hiking through the Ben Weston bunkers this week, you know what? There's a Word of God that goes, I know He's got good plans for me, plans that are to prosper me and not harm me. Amen? To give me a little hope and a future, we need to redig the well of the Word of God in our lives. Now, John loves this one especially. We need to redig the well of worship in our life. And I don't mean just singing. There's an act of worship that maybe God's telling you is the avenue He wants you to go down. We always talk about singing, just singing being the act of worship. Wow, right? There's plenty. And I'm not talking about just how high you raise your hands or how loud you sing, but what gets your heart's affection and your mind's attention. Because that's what you're worshiping. And I'm allowed to say that because I'm passing it along. Because I've screwed up both of those. I've had my heart's affection and my mind's attention on things other than God. And yeah, I'm a pastor. I don't give a rip. I have the same enemy you do. And if I'm not prayed up and I'm not digging from the well of worship, I get off kilter and my worship goes nuts. And I hand it somewhere else. For some of us, it's our children. They get our mind's attention and our affection. For some of it's our grandchildren. I'm being real careful with that one right now. For some of it's our money. For some of it's your hobbies. Whatever it may be, none of those things are inherently bad. They're not bad at all, okay? But what is preeminent in your life? We need to redig the well of worship where our day is saturated in God's goodness. You're ahead of the enemy. That's why I love going to these boot camps for guys. Turn our phones off and we're prayed up. Doesn't mean there's not an enemy. Just means we're ahead of him. We're ahead of him. Because when he creeps in, tries to do, we're prayed up. We have a group of guys together. Our phone's not distracting us. And other things too. It's a great feeling. And when you come back in or re-enter into society from these great experiences with retreats for women, for men, great experiences. The attack hits you in 1,000 different ways. And you can see adults getting taken out left and right when they re-enter the matrix. To be prayed up, to be ahead of the enemy. Paul says to pray always. And it doesn't mean that we crawl around on our hands and knees all day long, okay? But what it means is to stay in constant communion with God. And constant conversation with God. He has our worship. We're checking in with Him. And for checking in, you know, some of us, you check on your news feed an awful lot. And we worship Facebook and Instagram and we check in before turning anything on in the morning. We give that affection of our heart and attention of our mind to these other things. And I'm letting you know that I'm right there with you. If I don't dig this well of worship, if I don't get something that's sustaining the blessing in my life that He's given me, I'm going to get stuck in the next season. I'm not going to make it to the next season. And it's a big deal. Instagram's not going anywhere. In fact, if anything, they're strengthening parts of the program that are within the social network to make it safer and keep people from bullying, cyberbullying each other on. I was listening to that just recently, and I get it. They're trying to protect it. And that's great. And I think that's a good thing. But to have what's preeminent in your life be a social network, that's not great. Some of us are trying to sustain in earthly strength what came from heaven. And you cannot do that. You cannot sustain a heavenly blessing with earthly strength, earthly attempts. We've got to redig the well. Redig the well of faith in our life. When was the last time where you attempted something for God that you knew that if He did not come through, it would not happen? When was the last time? Okay? For God. Now, not jumping off whale's tail. I'm talking about for God. Something of great risk that you knew He gave you the giftedness for, but without Him, it would not happen. When was the last time? You see, we can get into this rope routine where our faith isn't alive. We're coming. We love God. We're Christians. All that's great. Where our faith is, it's not active. It's not grabbing hold of something. It's not believing God for something. I have friends, very close friends in this room. You know exactly where I'm coming from right now. You're believing God for something. It's beyond what you can do. It's a greater adventure than what you signed up for. And you know, I will not make it to the other end unless he takes me there. I can't do this on my own. You know what I'm talking about. When I don't understand it, I'm going to stand on the Word of God. When I've done all that I know to do, I'm going to stand on the Word of God. Paul says that. I'm going to keep my faith. Even though I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, I'm going to walk in faith. Whenever I cry in tears, I'm going to keep walking in faith in God. I'm going to redig the well of faith in my life. I'm going to believe God at His Word and take Him at His Word. I'm going to trust Him. I'm not going to trust the most popular opinion. It doesn't work. I'm not going to trust what everybody else tells me, even my parents sometimes. I'm going to trust what God has said. I'm going to put my faith in the roots of His Word and what He's told me. We need to redig the well of faith. And where we stop backing down and become spineless. Can I just talk for real, okay, this morning? That we become spineless Christians that are just like this well, okay, that gets dirt thrown back into it. That's what your life becomes like. I had something going, but all this junk caught up with me, and it's dried up. I want a church that's going to redig the well of our faith and stay determined to get a spine of steel. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to have my shoulders squared back. I'm going to put my head up high. I'm going to take a deep breath, and I'm going to determine to see what God can do. I want a church like that. Do you? Right? Right? You leave here, and what do with the Word of God? What does it do to you? I don't care if you're in Christian ministry or not. It can get common, even boring. God says this, be aware that if I'm going to strengthen you or I'm going to take you to the next level, you will have opposition. We call it resistance. What does yours look like right now? Is there any? And I don't mean just a phone call from an angry parent that's upset with the way you're working with their kids. I don't mean any of that. I'm talking something bigger that presses you into your calling going, am I really doing what I'm supposed to be doing right now? The well of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please who? For some of you, the fire of faith needs to be reignited on the inside. Because you're going to face resistance. If you've not got a supply, a flow of the Word of God and worship in your life, then you're going to get knocked around. You'll blame it on God, but it ain't God. You'll begin to call the blessing a burden. You'll curse the blessing. How many times in Scripture have we seen that? Isaac went on. Catch this. Great Scripture. Here it is. He dug a well in Essek. It means quarrel, to have a dispute. It means to be criticized. And I just want to warn you, I want to give you fair warning that if you're determined to dig the well of God's Word and worship in your life, you'll have some critics. John, you can come up. I personally don't have any experience with this at all. Anybody awake this morning? I have so many critics in this town, it's out of control. Okay? As soon as you just, you know, you put something online, hey, come to church, you know. There are people that even worship Satan here. It is unreal, the junk. There's spells and incantations. Don't freak out. There's an enemy out there, but they even live here. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the real enemy you can't see, and people are being used by him. There's stuff out there, man. It's junk. I've had to separate myself from so-called friends. You'll have some people that are going to say things that don't really know you. And it hurts. You know why? They don't know the motives of your heart. And they're saying crap about you, and they don't know your motive. They don't get it. They don't know your decision-making process. They don't know how long you prayed through it. They don't care. They're like, what's your deal? Why are you wasting time on that? And it's a big deal. They don't know how long you cried through it. They don't know how long you talked to God about it. But if you're wanting to please people, you're going to put dirt back in the wells. You can't please people. You got to go with, thus says the Lord. Amen? So he went on from Essek, and he went to Sitna. Sitna means a place of accusation. The Bible says that the enemy is the accuser of the believers. The enemy is the accuser of the believers. The enemy will accuse you internally. Who do you think you are? Why do you think God would use you that way? Oh, come on. Missions? Really? Do you not know what you did last week? You know the club you were dancing in last night. Don't you know the life you've lived up? God wouldn't bless you. God wouldn't favor you. God wouldn't move you into a new season. The accuser. You have accusations coming from the outside. People making opinions about you. You think you're good now. You're too big for your britches, you holy roller. Okay? Get all that stuff. No. I've outgrown a season in my life, and I'm moving into a new season. Then he comes to Rehoboth, a place of blessing. Rehoboth. It means more than enough. This is my favorite part of the whole story, and you can figure why. It means wide open places. No quarreling. No accusation. No critics. Not Rehoboth. If they'd have left that one out of the story, that would have sucked. You got to have a Rehoboth. God wants to take you to Rehoboth, congregation. You made it here this morning. If you're going to leave here with anything, you better leave here with this. God wants you to make it. He wants you to get into the new season. He wants you in the Rehoboth. He wants you to take a place where there's more room. There's room for you to grow. And everything that he has for you, Rehoboth allows for room to flourish and for that creation to fully grow where it needs to be. That's the deal. But you couldn't grow in that if you stayed in Essek. You couldn't grow in that if you stayed in Sitna. You had to get to Rehoboth. You had to push forward. And if our worship team can come up. Because Rehoboth has room for your gift to grow. Rehoboth has room for your influence to grow. It's bigger than anything you and I could dream about. Okay? If you're sitting here this morning, you go, I hear what you're saying. And I've been to Rehoboth, so I'm good. Be careful with that. I've said that as a pastor. Or I've been tempted to say, I already know this part of Scripture. Or I've got my doctrine and my theology 101 to 401. I'm good, Pastor. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just the knowledge of God's Word. I'm talking about the heart of God and the heart of you connected to each other. And you're walking with Him and you're comfortable conversing with Him and hearing from Him. Do you have that? Because that's how you're going to know. I got a season challenge coming up. I got a challenge coming up. He's with me. It's all good. Anything you can ever dream of, anything you could ever come up with, is not going to happen if you stop at Essek. Because they're criticizing you, and you're listening to the critical stuff, the critical spirit, you're not going to make it to Rehoboth. And if you stop at Sitna because they're accusing you, you're not going to make it to Rehoboth. You got to push through when the critics and the resistance start tearing you down. You can't quit at Essek. Anybody here? Anybody awake this morning? Amen? You can't quit at Sitna. You got to move to Rehoboth and just keep digging. Dig, dig, dig. Create what was there that your forefathers have said, this is the way. This is the path. This is the time-tested path that your forefathers and those that got it right have gone. It has been used for centuries, and you're over here. If you're coming back to this path, grab a shovel, my friends, and just start digging. Dig into the Word of God. Dig into worship. Get your heart and your mind focused on the right worship and where it's going. Because God's going to get you the place He wants to take you. And breakthrough is right around the corner. And if you're not experiencing breakthrough right now and you're in the middle of the battle, then you need this sermon worse than anybody. You must stick to your gun. Stick with it. You will make it through this. Close your eyes for just a moment. And I want to remind you of something. That if breakthrough is right around the heaven, right around the corner here, and heaven is waiting for your prayer that says, I need help. And you're fighting harder than you've ever fought. I want you to picture yourself digging a well out of an existing well. Because your prayer that you've been praying has another prayer inside it that you didn't know about that God is answering. It's a prayer within a prayer. God knows what you really need. He'll hear your request and he'll take it up a notch. It's going to take work. But keep digging. Praise him today. Just him today. Somebody shout, keep digging. Yeah, lift it up. And when you sing, and when you tithe, and when you pray, and when you serve your neighbor, and when you give even the clothing off your back to someone, it is completely for his kingdom and his glory. And there is joy in all of it. It has nothing to do with your efforts. It has to do with the way he's blessed you. Amen? Yeah, your heart and your mind come together on this and say, I'm going to do this the right way, not my way. So to fight an enemy, you have to match power with power. You must have God's strength. Let's stand to our feet. It's a sacred moment. I ask you, just be still. And let's sing this morning.
Keeper of the day and the night. Holder of the sun in the sky. There's not one thing you're not greater than. Greater than the mountain that's in front of me. You are greater, so much greater. Greater than the power of the enemy. You are greater. So much greater.
The Bible tells us that we don't get into a right relationship with God by our best efforts or by our works. The Bible tells us it's what Jesus did on the cross. That's it. We've been singing about it earlier before this service, and you just heard what was said here. Greater. You are greater. The scripture teaches that all have sinned and fallen short of God's standard. And God made a way through Jesus to forgive and to let go of the stuff that you're stuck in between seasons. There is a way. It's not your effort. And I want to give you the opportunity to know that you can have peace with God today. I do. And I don't do this every Sunday. The Holy Spirit does this every Sunday. I'm making this very clear today that to be forgiven. If junk in your life needs to get out of there, do it. Why wait? Just throw it on the altar and say, I give it to you and I'm moving forward. I'm not going to turn around and let this hinder me and get stuck in a season. I'm moving on. My faith needs testing. I need strengthening. I need a greater weight. So I'm not bobbling around. I'm not messing around. You're going to face resistance. But God will be with you and God will walk through it with you. And if you're here today and you can say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I have that peace, and I feel stinking stuck, and it's been happening, let's pray about it. Let's totally take it, and I will escort you to the throne of God. I'm not going to carry that for you. I'm going to show you where it goes. Jesus is the one that does that. Amen? He's the one that does that. I'm not perfect. I'm here to guide you. I'm here to equip the saints, and I want to help you get where you need to go. Why wait? Why wait? Middle of July. This is perfect, man. This is great. You have a whole challenge of the fall waiting for you. Set your feet on the rock of Jesus. Do not turn around and think, I'm greater. I mean, I've got this. He's greater. That's what we're singing about. Say, I need that today. I want that today. and pray about that today. Let your marriage be strengthened. Let your families get strengthened. Yet your work ties and the struggles you have at work, give your work over to God. Give your rent over to God. Give your living space over to God. Give your transportation needs over to God. Whatever it may be, He wants that. He wants to know your heart. Father, I ask you this morning to do above and beyond what we see. The grass withers, the flower fades, but your word is what will sustain life forever. It goes on and on. We dig deeper where things have been covered. Like Isaac, we seek wealth, the wealth of blessing, and not just any amount, a huge wealth. So much so that people say, you know what, dude, you need to move on. That's fine. I will. But you know what? Those people that say that want exactly what you have. And they're going to ask you, I don't have all this together, but I want what you got. May we be ready in and out of season. May we be ready in and out of season to give those the hope of the glory that's inside. Jesus, it's you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.